We're joined on the line now by Sam Wainwright. Sam is a spokesperson for the campaigning group Stop AUKUS WA. First of all, thanks so much for joining us this morning, Sam.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity.
Now, we'll get into further detail, of course, but let's begin at the beginning, which is for the benefit of our listeners who may indeed not be across the detail of what AUKUS is all about and why there is a campaign group against it. What exactly is the Australia-UK-US military agreement announced in September 2021? And then as separate to the AUKUS agreement itself, but as the key component of it, was the announcement in San Diego in March this year by the Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese, UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, and the US President Joe Biden, announcing a nuclear-powered submarine deal for Australia that it's estimated could cost anywhere up to $368 billion.
That's right. And look, really, the headline issue for Australians has been the decision as a part of this whole process to spend at least $368 billion on nuclear submarines sourced from the United States and the support of the UK. But it's worth stressing that it's much broader than that, really. The submarine announcement comes into the context of an absolute tightening of relationships and a sort of locking in, if you will, of Australia with what I would call the sort of the Anglo-Imperialist military alliance, that is to say Britain, United States and Australia, operating as one unit strategically, militarily, diplomatically, very closely in the Asia Pacific region. So in addition to the submarines, there's also the force posture agreement, which basically is going to see the greater stationing of US military assets in Australia. So there's the US bombers being that we suspect with nuclear weapons to be based, almost certainly to be with nuclear weapons, to be based at the Tyndall Air Base near Darwin. And we're already seeing a greater rotation, rotation of British and US nuclear-powered and almost certainly nuclear submarines at Stirling, and a whole bunch of other things as well.
You've mentioned a number of the details there, Sam, beyond the submarine agreement itself, including the fact that there will be US Virginia-class submarines on a rotational basis visiting HMAS Stirling in Perth. And there's also cyber intelligence software systems that are going to be shared, artificial intelligence, undersea capabilities, hypersonic capabilities as well. And also there's the continuation and the strengthening of a longer-term agreement that goes back to 2012 of Marine Force Rotational West, which is a 2,500 strong Marine force that rotates through Darwin. Now, all of this is part of a wider military mosaic, which many people are arguing is really focused on the coming confrontation with China and is part of the United States' broader grand strategy, if you like, of the so-called pivot to Asia and focusing on that confrontation with China. So what are your comments there, Sam?
Yeah, look, that's right. And this so-called pivot to Asia predates Biden. And so it goes back to President Obama, where the United States identified China as its primary sort of strategical challenge. So despite all the changes or differences in the Obama and then the Trump and the Biden presidencies, that's remained a consistent theme. And I suppose what you could say AUKUS really symbolises is Australia locking in behind that US priority or that US determination to block China's growth, both its economic growth, its political influence, and its military potential as well, which really is pushing us towards war. We've been thrust into a new Cold War as a result of this posture. And it threatens us with a hot war. And I mean, in fact, it's quite extraordinary that our leaders are now telling us not just to prepare for war with China, to expect it. It's quite terrifying on a whole number of levels. I mean, it should go without saying that the prospect of nuclear conflict in this century is utterly, utterly horrifying. And furthermore, it's inconceivable that we could mobilise the resources, both material and human, to confront the real threat to our existence, which is runaway global warming, if we're arming up like this. And yet that is precisely what we're doing. Mm. It's very notable, for instance, that the AUKUS announcement itself was essentially hammered out in secret behind closed doors with, you know, key front benches for both the Labor government and the Liberal opposition coming to agreement before it was even announced, you know, to the wider the Parliament, really, even let alone the wider public. So this is, I don't think there's any way known that the AUKUS agreement, for instance, and the headline figure of the $368 billion could have survived a process of scrutiny and election and all that sort of stuff. And I think that's the thing which is, you know, there's also particularly worrying about this whole process, is that it makes it very clear that decisions of this importance are not trusted to the Australian people. They're not trusted to the Parliament, they're not trusted to the Australian people, and yet this is the path that we're being led down.
Now, making the connection with the ongoing genocidal assault on the people of Gaza, we know that Israel itself is a major weapons exporter, and that Elbit Systems, for instance, has an office based in Melbourne, and it sells drones and other military equipment to the Australian Defence Force. But Australia too has a burgeoning ambition to become one of the world's major weapons exporters. And earlier this month, Palestinian human rights groups Al-Haq, Al-Mazan Centre for Human Rights and the Palestinian Centre for Human Rights, with the support of the Australian Centre for International Justice, launched a legal action in the Federal Court of Australia seeking further detail on the weapons exports permits going to Israel since the outbreak of Israel's assault in October. And it's said that there are hundreds of permits. And in fact, I'll quote Rawan Araf, who's the executive director at the Australian Centre for International Justice, who said, "We know that hundreds of permits have been issued in recent years, but the Australian government keeps the basic details secret. What items are being exported? Who is making them? What are they used for?" Extremely important questions, I would have thought, Sam.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first thing to say is that there has been a bipartisan push, along with this commitment to the AUKUS process and the general strengthening of this US-UK-Australia military alliance in Asia-Pacific, to position Australia as a major arms exporter, as if that were a good thing. So already we know Australia exports arms to governments with utterly horrid human rights records, like Saudi Arabia. We know weapons are exported to Saudi Arabia, and when questioned, the minister has said, oh, yes, that passed our processes, you know, that was approved. So, I mean, in terms of, you know, what kinds of human rights, you know, checks apply, they can't be worth very much at all. That said, Australia is actually particularly opaque, so it's harder to get information about exactly what and to whom weapons are being exported than it is in either the United States or the United Kingdom. Nonetheless, people have been doing some digging, and in addition to the case that you mentioned, this Green Senator David Shoebridge has been doing some digging around as well, we now know that in the last 5 years, some 350 Australian defence exports have been approved for Israel, and that's including 52. In last year alone, and those exports over the last 5 years, they're not huge compared to other exporters, no doubt, but that comes to a value of $13 million. But $2.3 million of that has just been in the last year, so it does seem, tentatively, you could say that the pace of Australian exports to military exports to Israel is picking up. It's also worth saying that more than 70 Australian companies have been awarded contracts in relation to the F-35 the fighter jet program, and they are definitely supplied to Israel. And furthermore, there's a number of there's both weapons and there's a weapons sort of parts pool that the United States manages that Australia supplies to, that Israel in turn takes from. So the Australian exports to the military exports to Israel might even be more significant than the ones that we know about. But we already know for certain that some Australian companies are linked to the exports to Israel.
Now, this Friday, there is a protest that is being organised by Stop AUKUS WA at the Perth Convention Centre. Sounds like it's a really lovely event, bit of a get-together of defence industry representatives. An honoured guest is going to be the UK Minister of State for the Indo-Pacific, and there'll be executives there from Babcock and British Aerospace Systems, who both have offices based at the Henderson Naval Base. And I think it's really, you know, rather wonderful that they get the opportunity to sip a cup of tea and share a few biscuits while discussing the business of murder and state terrorism. So can you tell us, Sam, a little more about that event this Friday and why there's going to be a protest there?
Yeah, that's right. The Stop AUKUS has initiated a peaceful protest out by the front of the convention centre, 11 o'clock this Friday. So it's titled The Future of Defence in WA, AUKUS, Defence Industry and the UK's Role in the Indo-Pacific. So in addition to the UK Minister of State for the Indo-Pacific, there will be a panel discussion of BAE and Babcock Australia. And so those two companies, as an aside, are particularly implicated in supplies of materials to Israel. And it's hosted by the US Asia Centre and Curtin University as partners. So it really is, it's like a sort of almost a coming together of the three strands. This push by Australia to become, secondly, the AUKUS alliance and this attempt to essentially provoke a war with China. And supplies to and weapon supplies to Israel, all these things coming together. The thing that I should note as well is Curtin University is a partner, and so we're really seeing same time the university being sort of drawn in as part of this process to completely to orient Australian industry towards this arms export industry.